Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here, but I'm really glad to tell you, as I promised you earlier, that for the sixth year in a row, on his birthday, President Abraham Lincoln is with us. That's exactly right, ladies and gentlemen. On the Small Business Advocate Show, President Abraham Lincoln. Mr. President, welcome back to the show.
And I'm glad to be with you today, and I was just listening. Now you're in the top 100. I mean, when we began, I don't believe they had you up there, did they?
I was in the top 10,000 in those days, President Lincoln. You've really boosted my standing in the entertainment and the radio world, and I really appreciate that. Happy first, let me say happy birthday again.
When you get as old as I am, you appreciate every one of them.
We won't even count up how old you are, President Lincoln, but
approaching 200.
Yeah, I know it, but I want to thank you very, very much for the time you've spent with us. What do you got on your mind today? What are your thoughts today as you approach your next birthday?
Well, just a comment about the fact that you've moved up from 10,000 to 100. You see, the reason for that is the same reason that I think I had a few successes in my life, and that is that you and I both we've learned how to learn. Mm-hmm. I had only 1 year of schooling, you see. My father, Thomas Lincoln, was illiterate. He could barely scratch his name, and my mother had no schooling at all. I went to school for about 1 year in my entire lifetime. In fact, it wasn't all at the same time. Generally, on the frontier, parents sent their children to school and paid about a nickel a day per child. And when the nickels ran out, I and my sister had quit going to school. So I didn't have very much schooling. But I learned how to learn, and there are three principal ways that I learned how to learn.
Well, I'd like for you to talk to us about those.
Well, I can. The first, I learned to read. At first, I was a general reader. That is, I read everything I could get my hands on. And that's important for people because you discover facts just through random reading.
Well, President Lincoln, we have many stories about you trudging through the snow to borrow a book and then to take it back. Are those stories true?
Yes, they are. In fact, when I left the state of Indiana to go to Illinois when I was about 21, I could honestly say that I'd read every book within a radius of 50 miles. I'd either borrowed it or bought it. Now, that's easier to say today than it was then, but there were still a considerable number of books. Mm-hmm. I just devoured every book I could find. And so at first it was general reading. Then once I got to Illinois, I did something a lot of people never do as readers, and that is I began to do in-depth reading. I began to study. It was a law book. I acquired Blackstone's Commentaries on the Law, and I began to devour that, go in-depth. You see, if you remain a general reader, it may not ever help you very much. You need to know a lot about something, mm-hmm. and I would recommend that to all the people who are in businesses. So that's the first thing I learned. Do I have time for number two and number three?
Go ahead.
The second way I learned how to listen. You see, we're born with the ability to see, but we have to learn how to read. We're born with the ability to hear, but we have to learn how to listen. Listen attentively, especially to people who disagree with you. Mm-hmm. Your first impulse will be to try to convince them they're wrong and you're right. But if you listen attentively, you gain the advantage because you know their argument as well as your own. I remember my first law partner, my senior law partner, told me, he said, Lincoln, when you try a case, spend more time thinking about what the other person is going to say than what you're going to say.
I heard someone once said, Mr. Lincoln, President Lincoln, that that, you know, they ask the question, are you listening or are you just waiting for me to stop talking?
Oh, that's a good one.
So you can talk.
I may start telling people that. That's very good. And you see, very often people are doing that. While they seem to be listening, they're just thinking about how they're going to make their next statement.
Right.
I'm sure you've done that, and I have.
Well, we all have.
We have to be on our guard against it. And
Mr.
then I think when we
President
listen,
Lincoln, will you know, there in your day, there was something, there wasn't anything like what we have to do these days. We have commercial breaks that we have to take, and I know you've been on the show enough in the past that you know what we have to do. We have to sell some things, and we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want you to continue to talk to us, President Lincoln, about the ability to learn. And also, this is the birthday of another great person, actually, who was a contemporary of yours. And I'm going to get you to reflect on him a little bit later in the hour, too. It's 20 till. We'll be right back with President Abraham Lincoln. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And ladies and gentlemen, we're having a great visit with our friend for the last 6 years, but somebody we've known about for a long, long time, President Abraham Lincoln. Mr. Lincoln, President Lincoln, thank you for joining us again. I want to thank you again for the last 6 years of being on the show on or near your birthday. And you know, I just gave out my website. And I'm so proud of you because in the last few years, you've gotten pretty tech savvy, haven't you? You have your own website, don't you?
That's indeed correct. And if anyone wants to reach me, I'll give it to you. It's www.presidentlincoln.com. PresidentLincoln.com. Now, you know, and that's all we were talking about learning. That's all part of it. I learned how to send messages over the telegraph,
right,
which was just coming online when I was president.
Right.
We were talking beforehand. You'd like for me to sort of wrap that up about...
I want you to continue to tell us about how you learned how to learn.
Learning how to learn. One, you learn by reading, both general and in-depth. Second, you learn how to learn by listening. And today, I notice people talk about a 10-point scale. We didn't do that much in my day. But whenever you listen, as often as you can, listen so intently that you could say, I'm listening at a 9 or a 10. Mm-hmm. I think most of the time, most people listen about 2 or 3. So
exactly.
That's what I'd recommend. The third way to keep on learning is to learn to profit from things that happen to you, especially your mistakes. Learn a lesson every time something doesn't work out. And make sure it's the correct lesson. I think a lot of people, whenever something doesn't work out, they say, I'm just going to quit. Well, that may be the entirely wrong lesson to deduce from something that doesn't work out. Maybe you didn't do it at the proper time with the proper person. Maybe you didn't use the right words. With some practice, you could turn those things that don't work into successes. So learn from your failures, things that don't work out, and draw the proper conclusions from them.
Mr. President, let me bring in another person whose birthday it is today. And he was a contemporary of yours. He was a little younger than you, but he could have voted. He probably voted for you, and that is Thomas Alva Edison, the great inventor, the inventor of the incandescent light and the phonograph and hundreds of other things that we use today. He was born in 1847 on this day, and he said something that I think that he may have learned from you, from based on what you're telling us, and that he could have, and that is he said that failure is successfully identifying what doesn't work.
Oh, my goodness.
How about that?
Well, I think he certainly, and I've done a little bit of reading about Edison, though I never met him, that he was not deterred by things that didn't work out. He felt that, as you said, things that don't work out is just more information.
Right.
And yeah. I was always seeking more information. You know, there's another interesting point about Thomas Edison, and that is he didn't have much schooling, and neither did I.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes schooling can keep you from getting an education.
explain yourself. By the way, folks, send all those letters to PresidentLincoln.com. Go ahead.
Thank you. I think that very often schooling teaches you to look at the world in a certain way, as a right way and a wrong way to look at the world. And sometimes those can be blinders. It's rather amazing to look at history and find out how many people were successful who weren't deeply schooled in the particular area that they made discoveries in.
Well, they weren't saddled with the paradigms, the baggage of those of the prior beliefs, weren't they?
My goodness, I wish I'd known that good word paradigm in my day. Who knows, I might have even become eloquent.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, exactly.
I did say once, we must disenthrall ourselves of old ways of looking at things. And I think that's exactly what you just said.
President Lincoln, what were you thinking in the days when you were having so much difficulty and it seemed that almost the whole world was against you, so many people were against you, you had to make such momentous decisions? What was going on in your mind in those days?
Well, one thing I had to learn, and this kept me from brooding on failures, whenever something doesn't work out, you have to quit thinking about it and talking about it and move on to something else. So I learned to do that. But the second thing I learned was this. I learned to believe in myself and trust myself. Toward the end of my term of office, I made this statement. If at last, when I come to lay down the reins of power, I've lost every other friend on earth, I shall at least have one friend left, and that friend shall be deep inside of me. That's what you've got to believe.
Well said, President Lincoln. And I want to say, as we come up on at the end of our visit, I know we're going to be visiting with another friend of ours, Gene Grisman, in just a few minutes. But President Lincoln, I want to thank you for the time that you spent with us today. I want to thank you for giving us your time over the last 6 years, and thank you for all the things that you've done for us over the last couple of centuries, a year and a half at least, and how much you've inspired us. You've been a great inspiration.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on a show with such a knowledgeable host, and I'm most appreciative.
Well, and inspire us with your website again one more time.
It is PresidentLincoln.com, www.PresidentLinconcom.
President Abraham Lincoln. Thank you, Mr. President. We'll see you next year on your birthday.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. President Lincoln, ladies and gentlemen, quick break, 10 till. I'll be right back with Gene Grisman, who also knows a little bit about President Lincoln.
Well, I was moving down the road in my V8 Ford. I had a shine on my boots. I had my sideburns low.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, and we're nationwide with that little three-piece band out of Texas, ZZ Top. Gene Grisman is nationwide, too, ladies and gentlemen. And he's the author of a bunch of books, including The Words Lincoln Lived By. He's our Lincoln expert. He's also the author of Time Tactics, of very successful people. He also has a number of CDs out there. And he's just an incredible resource for us on so many levels. Gene Grisman, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much. By the way, one that I'm going to have to send you a print of, it was lost for a while. A company that manufactured it went bankrupt, called Lincoln on Communication.
Huh.
And it's Lincoln Live with 10 lessons about how to be a better communicator. People go to our website, they can find out about it, and I'll
right.
send you one.
Now the president's website is President Lincoln. And by the way, we just had a great visit with President Lincoln, and he's a cool guy, isn't he?
He really is, and I've learned a lot from him. I follow him around from time to time, and in fact, I did a program recently in character as Lincoln.
Right.
And then I came back to leadership program, then led a 2-hour seminar on lessons we can learn from Lincoln about leadership and other historical figures.
And folks, I think I may have forgotten to mention it, but many of you know this because you've heard Gene before. Gene is one of the top Lincoln portrayers in the universe.
Yeah.
And you're going to be in Plains, Georgia, tomorrow,
aren't
you?
It's in Atlanta.
Oh, it's in Atlanta? Okay.
Oh, it'll be at the Carter Center in Atlanta.
At the Carter Center in Atlanta.
I'm performing twice tomorrow, Saturday, at noon and at 2 o'clock at the Carter Center in Atlanta.
Open to the public?
It's open to the public. In fact, admission to the performances are free with a ticket into the museum and library.
Oh, I see. So that's at the Carter Center in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Two performances, 12 and when?
At 2.
And 12 and 2. All right, folks, you don't want to miss that.
Last time they were standing room only audiences, so come early.
I'm not the least bit surprised. Gene, in the year 2005, what important lessons can we get from the president?
I think if there's anything that I've learned from Lincoln, there are two or three, but one is that you just keep on learning. You keep on growing. Horace Greeley, the great journalist, who was often a bitter critic of Lincoln, said there was not a single year that passed that he was not a wiser, better, cooler man than he was the year preceding.
Wow.
Isn't that something to say?
You know, exactly. And you know, Gene, that was a great tribute to him, especially from one of his detractors. But you know, Gene, while the president was talking earlier about learning and never stop learning, I'm reminded of a quote I actually used earlier this week for some reason. Cato, the great Roman statesman, who was actually one of the people who's actually a lot older than the president.
Lincoln quoted Cato, by the way.
He, I'm sure he did. But Cato said Cato was learning Greek at the age of 84. And somebody said, "Why are you learning Greek at this age?" He said, "It's the youngest age I have."
That's a great quote. By the way, I'll have to give one other lesson that I have learned from Lincoln, and that is whenever you keep on trying stuff, things don't work out a lot. And if you aren't careful, failures will embitter you. That didn't happen to Lincoln.
He had plenty of failures, didn't he?
He had plenty of failures and rejection, but he did not allow any of that to embitter him. He did not let bitterness get into his spirit.
You know, Gene, I actually found a list of all the things that happened to him, death, rejection, losses, political losses, failures, children dying, wives dying, that sort of, fiancés dying, that sort of thing. And the list is morbidly long, and I keep that list handy, and whenever I feel like that, you know, the world has licked the red off my candy, I pull that list out and I read it, and it makes me feel better. To know that he overcame all that and still accomplished and still became one of the great men in history of humankind.
You know, you've provided evidence. When I wrote the last sentence of the words Lincoln lived by, I said, "And still he speaks."
Yeah. what better could be said of anybody, right?
That's right, that he can touch people's lives today. He can help you when things are not working out.
Gene, give us the website again, please.
It is www.presidentlincoln.com.
And you're hoping that that address will become almost as famous as the Gettysburg Address, aren't you?
It's on its way.
Gene Grassman.
You know, the truth is, with a website, people all over the world can interact with you instantly, two-way. That wasn't possible with the Gettysburg Address.
Exactly. Thank you, Gene, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Thank
happy,
you.
And happy birthday to the president. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back. Don't forget, we're going to find out about chocolate as a vegetable in the next hour.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.